Today, I'm proclaiming the word of God from the Gospel, Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. Heavenly Father, through your word, fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we may be free from envy, from disappointment, and instead use our talents wisely, finding our own joy and giving glory to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's first of all tap into some human emotion as we start reflecting on this word of God. How do you feel when you see someone, perhaps someone you know well, a family member, a friend, someone you work with, maybe someone in this congregation, when you see that they appear to have been dealt a much better hand in life than you've been dealt? Maybe they're better looking, more intelligent, more athletic. They have natural talents they did nothing to get, but nevertheless, they enjoy them fully. Well, we can feel envious towards people like that. And we can feel angry at the universe or God or whoever dealt our hand. And we can feel also that it's not worth doing anything significant with our life, because what we've been given is so meagre in comparison with the talents of others. We can think this way even in the church, even about spiritual gifts. This self-pitying frame of mind comes naturally to all human beings. It never produces good fruit, but it can be hard, even impossible, to escape this way of thinking. At least from a human point of view, it can be impossible. But today I'm presenting to you good news from God's word. And that is that God's word frees us from envy and bitterness. And it opens us to receive the talents that we have as entrusted to us by God in his wisdom, according to our ability to deal with them. More than this, God gives us the talents we have to prepare us to receive greater responsibility in the life of his kingdom, to receive honour and praise from God. More than this, in Christ Jesus, we have the full riches of God. And as we trust in him, we share all that is his. So let's keep these emotions in mind as we now reflect on this parable. Let's see how God's word frees us. Now, Jesus is speaking privately to his disciples. This is the very end of his teaching. He's opposite the temple, the Mount of Olives, and his disciples have asked him about the end times. We've heard end times readings today, right? Very dramatic and disturbing readings. They want to know more about this. And so Jesus gives them a series of parables. This parable about the three servants and the talents is today's parable. And Jesus says, For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave five talents, to another two, to another one, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. So first of all, it says here that his slaves are summoned, literally called. Now, this is a big word in the Gospels. No one can put up their hand and say, Jesus, I want to follow you. No one's good enough to do this. When people speak this way, Jesus turns them off. We know this. But Jesus does call people into discipleship. We've seen two people called into discipleship today, James and Oleander. This is an ongoing call of the Lord. The text also says that he entrusted them with his own property. He handed over to them what is his own. And he gave them one, two, or five talents. Now, our English word talent comes from this parable. First of all, talent is an amount of money. You would have had to work 20 years in the ancient world to earn one talent. So even one talent is a large sum. You can see, by the way, how our English word talent comes from this parable, from this money. It's what one is given and what one can work with. Now, they're given a talent or more by their master according to their ability. The master knew what they could handle. He was not setting them up for a crash. He was setting them up to achieve. And Jesus makes this very clear in this parable. The master is setting them up, each of them up, to achieve. Now they act. The one who had received the five talents went off at once and worked with them and made five more talents. In the same way, the one who had the two talents made two more talents. There's this pattern, but then there is an exception to the action. But the one who had received the one talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Let's pause here. We're hearing this story, this parable. We're hearing about these characters and their behavior. And now we have to think about their motivations. And it's not spelt out here. Why does this third slave, given the one talent, bury his master's money? Now we know later that he's going to say that he did this because he feared the master. But we also know that's not true. The master knows it's not true and challenges him, as we will hear. In this whole parable, we are never told explicitly why the man did this. We have to enter in, engage our emotions, think about it. The parable goes on. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with him. Then the one who had received the five talents came forward, bringing five more talents, saying, "Master, you handed over to me five talents. See, I've made five more talents." His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. Five talents, 100 years' wages. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Let's think about the master's reply. First of all, he uses the word good in relation to the slave. Now, we can easily pass over this word thinking, of course, he's good, he made the master some money, something like that. But if we have our ears open to the gospel and how Jesus has been speaking, we know that this is a very big word indeed. Earlier in the gospel, we hear these words. Then someone came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you ask me about what's good? There is only one who is good." To be called good by God is the highest word of praise. It suggests that we will share in that goodness that properly belongs only to God. More than this, did you notice that the slave is entrusted with much more and is welcomed into the joy of the kingdom of God? Listen to how it goes on. "And the one with the two talents also came forward, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me two talents. See, I have made two more talents.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.'" Now, they were given, the first and second slaves, very different amounts. Five talents, and now this slave who had two. But they receive exactly the same evaluation. We can worry about inequality, and we can want equity. Notice what is at work in this parable. They do indeed get given different gifts out of the master's wisdom according to their ability. But they receive the same word of commendation from the master. The man is welcomed. He's honored. He shares in the joy of the kingdom of God. But then we get to the third slave. "Then the one who had received the one talent also came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter, so I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. So how does this slave characterize the master? I think he characterizes him as a mafia don. Someone who just uses force to get what he wants. Someone who'll break your legs or worse if you don't pay him back. That's the rhetoric, at least. That's what he says is the motivation for his behavior. But as we're going to find out, the master does not believe him because his actions have not matched the words. The master replied, "You wicked," or evil, it's a strong word in Greek, "and lazy slave. You knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest." If this is what you really think of me, if you really think I'm a mafia don, if you are being sincere in what you're saying, then you would have put my money in the bank and at least given me something. But this is not the reason. It's because you are wicked and because you are lazy. Now again, we have to think about what's going on with this slave. The text is not explicit at this point. We have to engage our human emotions. Here's my take on it. I think he's envious of the other slaves. He sees what they've got. What he has is meager in relation to them. And he thinks about the master and he says, well, the master obviously thinks I'm no good. And if this is what he thinks of me, why should I do anything for him? Sure, I'll give him back his money if he wants, but that's all. Why would I want to help a bloke like that? Now, I could be on the wrong track here, but we have to think about what's going on. Jesus is telling us this parable to engage with it, to think about how it helps us understand what happens as we face the judgment of God, and also to think about what our good path could be. It's then that we hear this word of judgment from the master. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they'll have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. The slave's lack is not the result of the master's action. The master entrusted to him a great sum of money. And he entrusted this money knowing what this slave could have handled. He could have done something with his money. It was within his ability. The lack that the slave has is because of his wickedness and because of his laziness. He did nothing with his life because he thought, in comparison to others, he had nothing to give. How foolish he was. The final word is given. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now remember, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Jesus does not use hellfire, outer darkness, gnashing of teeth language with the crowds. To hear this sort of teaching, you need to know that you're loved by God. Jesus does not want anyone to end up in this situation. He wants all of his disciples to grow, to be people who are wise, to be welcomed with the joy of God. He's speaking to us so that we may one day be honored by God, entrusted with much, and then enter into the joy of God. Now Jesus, who spoke this word to his disciples, was on his way to death on the cross. And to understand this parable, we need to understand the arc of the narrative. We need to understand where Jesus was actually going. He was going to his death on a cross, to give his life, entrusting himself to his Father. Jesus is the one human being who was truly good, who was truly faithful. And he lives as the one who has been welcomed into the joy of the Father. Now, because all that Jesus has, because his love and approval from the Father is ours, we don't need to be trapped by envy or resentment. We can receive the talents that God has given us, knowing that God has given them according to our abilities, and that he's preparing us for greater responsibilities. And as we put our trust in Christ, we can be sure that we'll be welcomed by God with the words, "Good and faithful servant, you've been faithful in little. I'll put you in charge of much. Enter into the joy of your master." We could not hope this by our own strength. It's Christ who gives us this way of life as a gift. And this is good news for us as human beings born with normal human emotions that can drive us in dark paths. The Word of God brings us light and it brings us life. So may we live with God now and forever in Jesus' name. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.